Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast and today's Study Saturday. We have Pastor Don Shoreline presenting his multi-site breakout session from the 2018 multi-site conference entitled A Marriage of Equals.
Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Don Shoreline. I serve at Christ Alone Lutheran Church in Thiensville and Mequon, formerly known as Calvary Lutheran Church and Trinity South Mequon, as we have consolidated our two churches together. Now, I realize a couple things are against us right now. This is known as the black hole of education here. Hour right after lunch. Okay? Because all the carbs are going to settle in now. And the eyes are going to say, I've got to work all really hard. All the blood's going to go down to processing all that. And none of it's going to be up in the head. But anyway, I know that you want to be here. You paid to be here. And you were scheduled to be here. So I'm going to say, okay, we don't have to worry about that black hole of education. So we're all set with that. As you come in, there's some sheets. John, can you see that they get those, please?
Yeah.
And then I have to share with you, in being able to give you a presentation today for this particular conference, I feel a lot like a proctologist.
Oh, great.
No. Well, now, let me explain.
I know you too well.
No slide.
I had a member of my family who had to have a surgery known as a sphincterotomy. That's a very delicate muscle down there, even though we cover it up and we don't talk much about it. So the surgery went very well, and then I had to ask the doctor after that. I said, okay, but I got to ask you a question. Whatever made you go into this field? Because I can't imagine a young man growing up saying, you know, all I want to be is a butt doctor. I just can't picture that. And so he told me then, he says, well, you have to understand, I had a patient who needed the surgery. No one in the area had done this. So I did it. Then some of my colleagues had patients who also needed it, but they hadn't done it either, but I had. So they referred their patients over to me. So then I not only did it once, I did it twice. And so then I figured I might as well specialize, because they now believe I'm an expert in that field. We've consolidated with two churches. I've done it once. That doesn't mean I am the go-to expert, but I am very excited about it because the Lord has blessed our work gathering together. Now, just so we get a little picture here, this is a merger of equals. We have four congregations. Now, we're kind of like the well set up in Mequon, Thiensville. All four congregations are within 4 square miles. We have Calvary, which would have been, it's formerly known as Calvary. That's in Thiensville. And everybody knows where the seminary is. It's just down the hill from the seminary. We have Trinity West. Sorry. This is St. John's East. There are 3 miles to the east of Calvary. We have Trinity West. They're 1.5 miles to the west of Calvary. And we have Trinity South, which was 2.5 miles to the south of Calvary. Okay? You could walk to any of them from any of them. Okay? And, well, we thought, you know what? We should probably do something about that. And so what happened then was we had the pastors get together. And we got together. There were 4 of us at the time. Eventually, Calvary added the second pastor, so there were 5 of us. And we got together to meet, and we said, you know what? We should probably do something about that. So I'm going to give you a basic outline. It's really simple. We're going to review what we did. Okay? Now, this is not, as I mentioned, it's not plug and play. What we did may fit, it may not fit. Okay? I listened to Monkey's. Anybody go to the Monkey's presentation? Oh, good. So you're going to hear their kind of in what we've already done. Okay, we did it a little differently than they did. We did kind of press it, but so if you got this, is kind of getting the blend of they're in it, we've done it. Okay, so we're going to review what we did. I'm going to give you some observations of what we thought worked, didn't work, could have been better, what we thought. Then we're going to have some improvements. If I were going to say, if I was going to do this again, here's what I would do differently. All right? And you're going to get basically my opinion on that, but the other, my associates and friends agree with me on this. And then I want thoughts and questions. I'm hoping to leave enough time that if you have any questions at all, that you can do that. Now, I did one thing just in case that ends up. If you notice, and I'll talk about it later, There's a number 5 on your outline there. I put my name, address, email, and cell phone. Okay? If at any time you have questions or things, or I've got material here, we killed a small force. We did more than the ash borer could have ever done to wood. We killed a lot of trees to print a lot of paper out. I did not print all that material out for you because I thought, well, maybe they want it, maybe they don't. So if you'd like it, we can certainly supply it for you. So that's available for you at the end. All right? So, first of all, in the beginning. It's always a nice place to start. In the beginning, there were the Articles of Shared Ministry. Now, if you flip over your outline, you'll see that. I did give you a copy of Articles of Shared Ministry. What we did is the 4 pastors got together. We realized there was a lot of duplication in what we were doing. We're so close, and yet we're doing the same things. If there was any company out there, now I think we have to take, if we take a look at the secular world and our locations for some of our churches, if there was a company that would say, yes, we have 4 factories, where are they located? Well, they're all within a couple miles of each other. Oh, and what do each of them do? Oh, it's all the same thing. So you've got 4 factories that are producing the same material and same widgets, and you what? Maintain. We got to close a bunch of them. Because if you could get by with only 1, why are you running 4? Now, in the business world, that would make sense. Doesn't necessarily not make sense in the parish world either. So pastors got together. There were 4 of us. By the way, we were friends. That helps. How many pastors we have in here? Okay, guys, let's be fair. We're on the same team. A successful team is made up of individuals who work for the team. When they interview the quarterback after a win, the good quarterbacks will say, well, you know, the offensive line protected me really well. The defense did an outstanding job. My receivers were there. They're looking because they're on one team. Sadly, sometimes it sounds like we're almost on opposite teams. Well, your church is doing really well, he's got a really good idea, but he's not going to share it with me, because if he shares it with me, his good idea, what's going to happen? Then I'll have a good idea, and it won't be just his idea, and people might actually come to my church too. We're very hoarding that way. God didn't want us to share. He wanted us to share. So it worked out really well that with 4 pastors, we got together. We get together, and let's see, Monkey had the same thing. We started at a restaurant known as the Prime Minister. That's a great name for us ministers to get together. The waitresses got to know us fairly well. They knew to wait a little bit before they placed our order, all this type of stuff. And we said, you know what? Let's get something together. So we actually, and I'm saying this because this is a top-down thing, as pastors, we are the shepherds. Take this in the right way, and I know we got some lay folks here. Sheep don't tell the shepherd where to graze. Because the shepherd is responsible for leading the sheep to the pasture. They are responsible for the welfare and the care of the sheep, right? And so we want to be careful that we actually lead. So we're going to say this is a top-down thing. The other thing is, pastors are like farmers. We wake up at work. If you think about the dairy farmer, he doesn't necessarily go back to the dairy. No, he wakes up at work, and he goes right to it. Pastors think about ministry all the time. Your board members and things, even some of the dedicated ones, they'll think about it when they get the agenda for the meeting as they sit down to the meeting. But we live it, right? We think about it, and we ask the Lord bless our efforts and think. So this is why we got together, and here's what we came up with. And I'm going to read this through with you. I know you can read, but I don't mean to insult intelligence here or anything, but the Articles of Shared Ministry. The purpose of a shared ministry is to utilize the available resources or manpower within our congregations to better serve our membership and to reach out to our community with the gospel. While maintaining each congregation's independence, Calvary Thiensville, St. John's East Mequon, Trinity South Mequon, Trinity West Mequon, agreed to the following: to grant permission to their called pastor to seek the assistance of the other pastors to carry out shared ministry. Shared ministry equals areas classified as shared ministry. We got those listed below. To grant permission to their called pastor to assist the other pastors in carrying out shared ministry for their congregations. To respect the assisting pastors as called servants of Christ, serving under the direction and at the request of their pastor. To be supportive of the efforts and ministries of sister congregations. To provide regular communication between the congregations.
to share costs of mutually beneficial programs by those directly benefited. Evangelism, that would be everybody. Preschool, that would be Calvary and St. John's. Grade school, that would have been Calvary. Cost of VBS and other similar projects will be left to the discretion of the non-supporting congregations. Advice and issues for the local congregations will be submitted to the appropriate council, board, committee of the local congregation. No pastor may initiate any ministry within a congregation of which he is not the administrative pastor without the permission of the administrative pastor and in consultation with the other pastors. The entire shared ministry program will be reviewed after 2 years. Organizations within the churches are to be reminded to include the other churches whenever possible, in particular for unique fellowship opportunities, bowling, ball games, outings, whatever. To establish a coordinating council composed of the pastor and equal lay representation from each congregation. Some of the current lists for shared ministry are BIC classes. Rather than having one or two people coming to a BIC class, let's just have one BIC class. We don't care which church you join. All right. Then we can have same thing with public school. How many of you have like one or two students in public school class? But now if you get a couple other congregations to join with you, then what? Now you have a class dynamic. You might have 6, 8 kids in public school class, and you don't have to prep every week for that because you would share that duties with others. Catechism classes, Bible classes, school devotions, evangelism. Not only that, but we'd share outreach. Remember when there were a time called the Yellow Pages? Anybody remember Yellow Pages? Oh, wonderful. And if you wanted to take an ad out in Yellow Pages, usually it was a little tiny box and it cost you so much. We said, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool? Let's just get a quarter page ad. So all of us put in. We had our own logo made up for the four congregations of shared ministry at Wells within the Ozaukee County. And we took a quarter page color in the Yellow Pages. And it was cheaper than running our little boxes. Okay? And by the way, it's really confusing for outsiders. I mean, that's our market, right? It's confusing for them to say, well, why are they there and you're here and you're the same? What's the difference? It's almost like, you know, Orthodox Jew and Reformed Jew and all this other type of thing. So with that, we listed those limited public exchange with the coordinating council approval. Others may be added. We did that back in 2002 and 2003. That was really our start with that. We'd recommend, you know what, if you have people that are hesitant, we'll say, how about this? How about just agreeing that we'll share certain things? We'll do certain things together. Okay? And we did that for quite a while. We met every month as pastors. We met every month. We had even a joint evangelism checkbook so that every congregation put in, each congregation according to size, so that Calvary, because we were the largest, we put in 60% of the budget. Two of them each put in 15% of the budget, and one of them put in 10% on the basis of their size. Okay? We did stuff jointly in parades, floats, and everything else. We did all these things together. And it was working. But then we realized, you know what? It could be better. What could be better? This is my test just to see that the carbs aren't taking over right now. What could be better?
One identity.
One identity. Why all the separate things? Okay? And so what we did is we said, you know, let's bring that idea up to the congregations. Let's see about making one congregation out of the four. Okay? Now how you do that? First of all, you go to the councils and you go to the congregations and you say, how about this? Is this something that would be worth pursuing? We chose not to go ahead with it until we realized it might be something they wanted. We weren't going to spend hours and hours working on this, and some people, well, we didn't want that to begin with. Why bother? All the councils and the voting members of the various congregations agreed. Understand, we're dealing with saints and sinners at the same time. There were those, they met, the other three congregations met, apart from Calvary, to make sure, and they said they're doing this, and we said, go ahead, do it. They didn't want the big church to swallow up the little ones. They didn't want big fish taking the other ones, and that would be the... We said, fine. They said, okay, let's go with the idea. All right, so then we had a committee that went together, and we came up with the following program. The evening and the mornings were the first period. So that was the shared ministry, Articles of Shared Ministry, which, by the way, we did not copyright those Articles of Shared Ministry. Use them. Take whatever you want. Okay?
That was the first period. On the second period, the thought process was begun. How good it is and how pleasant to live in unity and peace. For there is one Lord, one faith, one God of us all. That became kind of our overall theme. We're on the same team. We're in the same area. Let's see what we can do to work together. So the committee went ahead, and then we brought this brief review. This was presented to all four congregations during the worship service. We came up with a shortened order of service, and then we had the following presentation given to all the congregations. Ideally, it would have been a leader for each of the congregations doing it. I presented it at four congregations. That way, if somebody really didn't like it, they just had to hate me. They didn't have to hate their church president or their council. Okay? I got big shoulders. All right. So, here's what happened. Here's Trinity West. I'm going to give you a little history of all this thing. Trinity West. Notice. Established 1867. Membership, 91. Purpose, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with community. Does that make sense for a congregation? Yes. Trinity South, established 1853. 207 members, served by Pastor Weinrich. Purpose, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. St. John's, 1860. Did you notice a trend in when these congregations were all established? Again, we heard it in one of the presentations up there about how far the horse can go. Well, we have one on one side of the river, East Mequon's on the east side of the river, and then you got these, you got the farmers. Served by Pastor Kaler to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with community. Oh, and here comes the youngster. We were established in 1931, 1,000 membership, got the two pastors to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the community. All right? Those are the four churches. We have a wonderful history. We have a wonderful message to share. We have to wonder, however, are we doing the best we can? I think every congregation really needs to see that. Really needs to take that hard look. That was that deep look. I'm not sure if it was Pastor Monkey or Pastor Ein who has to take that deep look in there. Are we doing the best we can? God gave the best. Our Lord deserves the best, and so do His people. Shame on us if we're not going to strive to give Him the best. To just say, well, that's what we've always done before. So are we doing the best we can? And is what we're doing sustainable? If what we're doing right now, is it sustainable to keep going? So we take a look. We just did a quick attendance thing. And you notice, when we talk about sustainability, there is the overall graph of our membership decline over the years. The middle one here was Calvary. And by the way, what would be the difference? You see all these congregations down here, the three of them, they're all in the 1800s. Anybody want to guess what the difference was between these three and this one? There's a school. Okay. These, when they were formed, and by the way, Calvary was formed in 31. Anybody know what was going on in 31?
The Depression.
Not just the Depression, the Great Depression. Okay. Not a great time to start. We were one of only two missions that were started that entire year in the Synod. Okay. It was started for the sake of school and to do it in English. To have services in English. You think about that. Had they decided here, let's move to English, because where was it going? It was going to English. If we don't recognize our neighborhood, if we don't recognize our surrounding area and kind of work our ministry to fit that, where are we going to be? Well, there's going to be a decline, isn't it? So Calvary actually was starting, which is really nice because all the minutes that go all the way back to 1901, they're all in English. Okay, so with that, so just imagine what could be done if four began to work as one. Just imagine. Imagine the things that could happen. Think about it this way, and we put in there, by the way, never give a suggestion of, I made a mistake, I said, let's just call Unity Lutheran Church. And everybody said, that's not the right name. No, I'm just using an illustration. You don't want to be careful about putting the illustrations on because they think that's what it's going to be. Okay? But we said, just think about that. Established in 2015, membership of almost 1,500, got these five pastors, and then what? The purpose, to offer greater opportunities to impact the Mequon-Teensville community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, Pastor Kaler, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to go back here a bit. Pastor Kaler served in Afghanistan, in the Marines. He didn't just want to make an impact. He says, I want to make a boot print that they know we were here. Question to ask, if your church would close, would there be any impact on the community? Would there be people who would say, oh, we can't let them close? That's just one of those philosophical questions. What impact do we make on our community? If we were to close, would anybody know? So, with that, it goes on. What's our mission? Well, there it is in Matthew. You talk about the Great Commission. And guess what? It is really, go and make disciples. What is it not? Go and build church buildings. Go and build school buildings. Go and establish groups. It's go and make disciples. Always. When they talk about, man, keep that mission in front of everybody, that is our mission. Sometimes I think we lose it too. Even as pastors, we sometimes lose the focus, the drive, the zeal. What was it for Paul? The love of Christ compels me. I got to do this. Now, I haven't been beaten with whips. I haven't been imprisoned yet. Any of that type of stuff. Paul had been, and he still kept going. Because the love of Christ for souls compelled him to go on. And so with that, what's our ministry? Well, how about a focus? Somebody once used the illustration of the fact that, oh yeah, you know, we're spread. As pastors, we're GPs, general practicing pastors. Okay? We do it all, right? We cover, we're a mile wide, but we're only a quarter inch thick. How nice it would be to focus on one aspect of ministry, huh? How about focusing in ministry that way? How about focusing in ministries to our seniors, to our youth, to our families, to the hurting? That you have the time to have a focus, that there'd be somebody who, they're going to make sure the seniors are going to be taken care of. They focus their attention, and they give a lion's share of their time to those things. Can't do it if you're a GP. Because guess what? You got the sermon to do, you got your Bible classes to do, you got your shut-ins to visit, you got the hospital to visit, you got your own preparation to do, you got your own devotional life to do, and if you're married, there's this family to take care of, right? Okay? We take a look, other ministries, to the married, to the collegians, to the shut-ins, visitation. We think of all these various things, all these aspects of ministry. Outreach to the community. What usually gets left behind if you're trying to do the others well? Outreach. Don't have time to go make those visits. Any souls ever saved by a meeting? How much time do we spend in meetings? We spend a lot of time in meetings. It's like people who love to cook and all they do is read the book. They just read the recipes. They never bother to get their fingers in the dough. Here it is. And so, okay, so what does that look like? What does it look like for four to be one? Well, here was the pastoral staff at the time. Okay? Pastor Weinrich had to take medical early retirement. The Lord, right when he was excited, says, I'm so excited about this shared ministry that we've got going on. He's enjoying preaching again. The Lord froze his vocal cords. He ended up having to have an emergency tracheotomy. They did surgery so they could move the trach out, so he had to take early retirement. Pastor Coburg did retire. This is Pastor Kaler, Pastor Ebert, and then me and my younger years. Okay, so I said, this is your crew. What does it look like if each pastor, well, what's it going to look like? Each pastor will still serve the full role of pastor. Remember, we're breaking the people into the concept of a shared ministry, of consolidating. We'll coordinate a specific area of ministry. So there were five of us. One would need administration education, one would handle family ministries, one would handle special ministries, one would handle outreach, and one would handle worship. We said, here's how we're going to divide it up. Here are the major areas. Each one of us is going to be responsible for one of them so that the others don't have to worry about it. They can take that one off their platter so they can put another scoop of something else on the platter. By the way, does all this make sense so far? If you guys have a question, I'm talking too fast. I'm excited about this type of stuff, and I know I'm probably going to run over, and I don't want to. Well, I do want to, but I can't. But anyway, keep me down. But anyway, everybody's in charge of this. So they got a focus. Wouldn't it be great that you could just focus on getting really wonderful worship services all the time? Ever go to conference, And they've got these wonderful, you know, even like the district convention, they got the ensembles and the wonderful music. What? Well, they've got a focus. They got somebody doing that. Can you imagine that on a weekly basis? You got somebody just for that purpose, just to do your worship. So, now what's that kind of mindset going to take? Not the mindset like, I'll be never done a dead thing before. Yeah, you know. How many Wells people does it take to change a light bulb? None. We never change. Okay. How many Wells pastors does it take to change a light bulb? No, just one. He holds the bulb and the world revolves around him. Okay. So we need a new mindset. Okay? And the new mindset is right there. Anybody recognize? This is the Homestead High School football team. Homestead Mequon. And it works out really well. They are perennial favorites. They are, again, this year in the D2 state finals this coming weekend. Now I say, what? This is their varsity, JV, freshman, 5, 6, and 7, and 8th grade football teams all together for one picture. Homestead is regularly in the state finals. Why? Because from little on, from 5th grade on, they're being trained in the Homestead way of playing football. So that by the time they get in as freshmen, as the time they get in as JV players, guess what? They know the system. They know what to do. They know how to do it. They work as one team. And so it's great when the varsity players come to watch the fifth graders play and encourage them and help them. Imagine what it is to work as one. And we see the success that comes. Well, then, hey, how about us? What can we accomplish if we work together as one? Instead of all having our little kingdoms here and there, we get together as one. What would it mean? Could you imagine what could be done if four began to work as one? One mission: to make a lasting impact on our community with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice an impact on our community. We're here for you. We're here to help. We have, right now, one of the things, Pastor Ebert, my associate, the Lord gave him a special ministry. Before he came to Calvary, his son took his life. And he held his son in his arms as he expired. And so we have a grief support group called Wings of Hope. And for the community, for people suffering from the loss of a suicide. Okay? That ministry wouldn't have opened up. The Lord gave him this unique opportunity. But it's the community. We have people coming in. We're not trying to convert them. We're just trying to help them right now. That's his ministry, to make an impact on the community. Right now, Pastor Ebert just joined as chaplain of the Mequon Police Department and things like that. Working, again, just to be part of the community. My part's a little different. I umpire Little League games and get to talk to no parents. They argue. We usually have kids umpire. They argue with the kids. They won't argue with them. Especially one who can bring them up in a sermon later. Okay. Okay. Imagine one congregation on four campuses across our community. No matter where you go in our community, there's one of them. Hey, there's that church again. There's that church again. One governing body over the whole congregation. It's one congregation. By the way, a congregation, that's the people, folks. It's not the building. One budget. One name. And the membership, hey, guess what? They're going to be better served by an expanded family of the congregation. They're going to be better served by pastors who are able to meet their needs, because we can focus on those needs. Okay? Better equipped to meet our mission to go and make disciples, to equip them, to go out with them. Money, hey, guess what? Scariest part of the whole thing of joining churches, it makes sense. That scares people. If it makes too much sense, there's got to be something wrong with it. The church should be difficult. These things should be hard. They should be, you know, I think of Naaman. Remember Naaman? Prophet tells him, go wash yourself in the river. Oh, there's cleaner rivers for I'm not going. And finally the little servant says,
if it had told you to jump off a cliff or something, you'd have done it just to clear yourself of leprosy, right? Just go wash in the river. You know, this makes sense. Finances aren't our reason. The one blessing we had, it wasn't because one congregation is dying or it's financial. It wasn't at all. I really appreciate my brothers in the ministry and the congregation. It's about ministry. That's the reason we were looking at this. That's got to be the whole thing. Again, that was reiterated a number of times this morning. And there is better stewardship. Why are we turning the lights on four campuses at the same time for the same services? We thought about that, by the way. When we finally got together, we said, you know, this doesn't make sense. Three of us had Thursday night services at 7 o'clock. Okay. One will stay on Thursday. One of us moved to Saturday. Another one moved to Monday. Another one changed the morning times so that technically we ended up with a Thursday night service, a Saturday night service, four different times for services on a Sunday morning, and a Monday night service. No one in our community can have an excuse. There's no time for them to go to church. All right? So for the community-wise, we're saying, okay, now we're expanding what we can do. Why duplicate it? Why were there three services on 7 o'clock? Basically on the same text. Basically with the same sermon. There isn't a whole lot of originality in the Wells folks, because Scripture says it, that settles it, right? That's what we preach. So we take a look at it. So what's that mean for us? It may mean changing the way we see and do things. Okay? We got to be aware of that. Change is scary. How many of you would have loved your children to stay at 2? The terrible 2s. I think we want change then, don't we? We want to change. We want our children to change so that we don't have to change them. We like that change, don't we? We look forward to those changes. Okay, may have to change that. We may have to change the place and time we worship. It will mean changing how well we serve our Lord, our members, and our community. What are the other matters that might be considered? What matters to you? And basically, that what matters to you was the last slide. This was presented to all four congregations. Congregations then went together and voted and said, okay, let's pursue the concept. So they all voted on the concept. And the evenings and the mornings were the second period. On the third period was created the CBC, the Consolidation Building Committee, which consisted of these committees: finance, Christian education, outreach, property, worship, visitation, group life, administration, vision planning, and cemetery. Three of the churches have cemeteries. If you have a church that has a cemetery, it is a mixed blessing. Okay, so these are the. We went to the first congregation and said, we need people in this. This was exciting. 72 people volunteered to serve on these committees. Each committee is having at least 5 to 7 people per committee. And they went out and they did the legwork. Yes, I certainly may. Yes. Basically, you take a look. What do we do? What are the aspects of all that we do? And we said, we need to see how this is going to work. Pretty much all your congregations do this. All right? Am I right? We got the finances. Christian education, it might be Sunday school, it might be day school, might be whatever. Outreach, you want to do that. Property, everybody's got property. You got to manage those. Worship, visitation. Yes?
Sorry, I don't mean that.
No, don't. My mind walks on many trains. It doesn't matter which track I'm on.
So which one of those groups was the most contentious?
You know what? None of them were contentious because each committee went and they were just assigned administration. How is it going to work with 5 pastors? Because then as we had 5 pastors instead of the 4. There weren't any. I'll tell you what contention comes up later. but none of these were because they had a focus. One of the things, obviously, there were some people that thought finance. Oh, we can't afford this. I'm sorry. I think it was Pastor Hine that used the word stupid up there. That was always a bad word in my family. The kids thought it was a naughty word. I just told them it was stupid to think it. Well, anyway. But they said, we can't afford it. I'm saying, we're doing it now. You're paying for 4 campuses and 4 churches, aren't you?
So how is it when you come together you can't afford one if you're doing it now? Sometimes logic isn't always in the, you know, when there's passion. Anyone else? Thoughts or questions right now up until the point here?
What do you mean by group life?
Group life, that would be ladies' aids, pioneers, youth group, and anything like that that we would have. Any organizations within the church. Dartball, that's group life. How do we handle all these things? Okay. Then, everybody good? Everybody good?
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so the evenings and the mornings were the fourth period. And the fifth period, voters' meetings of the church were held on the same day. Now, a couple things are involved here. I didn't print this out. Making a greater impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Mequon-Teensville community. A template toward the consolidation. It is 56 pages long. Okay? Each of those committees came up with a SWOT analysis type thing. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What do we think it should be like? And each of them wrote it out, and we had a booklet prepared for them. That was also incorporated by work that was done. We divided the congregations. We had at least 12 or more meetings where people were invited to come and help with the planning of the vision. They would, the vision and mission statement for the new congregation, what they would like to see. We asked them, what are our weaknesses? What do we need to get strong? What would you like to see? And boy, I tell you what, when you get them in group settings and you divide the group into smaller groups and they start talking about it and they realize, and then we compiled all these, gave them to the various committees so that they can see what people are looking for and how we might deal with these things. Excellent, excellent piece of material there. We also produced one of these. And we got a little nifty. We thought, okay, this is good. We're going to go professional printing, get multicolored and stuff. This is frequently asked questions and answers. Questions such as, it gives you the why we're looking at consolidation. I'll just throw some out here. Like, would the merging of four churches cause a loss of tuition income for Calvary? Because, hey, now they're a member. In the unified congregation, will there be service? Where would service be held at what time? And so they gave an answer of what is all being discussed so that everybody, we tried our best to get everybody on board with everything that we were doing and all the decisions to understand there was reason. We're not just doing this in a void. We're not just doing this willy-nilly and say, oh, here's a nice idea. Like, no, there was a rationale and reason for all the questions that would come up and the discussion that we had. So we printed all these up. Everybody in the congregation was able to get one of these. So they had a full understanding of why we're doing this and what it's all about. Okay? And so we had those materials we shared. Then comes the time on the fifth period, the meetings of the churches. Well, I'll go back. We arranged that all four congregations would have a consolidation voters meeting on the same day. It was a Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. Obviously, one of the things we recognize, if Calvary didn't vote in favor of it, the whole thing kind of goes down. Okay? So we kind of assumed that was a given, that we were going to vote in favor. The other congregations voted the same. We voted the same day, basically even at the same time, because we didn't want one vote one week and then, oh, you know, they didn't vote in favor of it. Everybody same time frame. Two of the congregations chose not to. Trinity South chose to join with us. Okay, the consolidated two. Now, what we did offer them, we said, it's okay. If you wish to join us later, you may. However, you will not be able to be involved in any of the planning of the new congregation. Which means you got to take what is there. If you come in at the start, you're involved in the whole planning process. If you don't come in, we'll certainly welcome you, but if there's a name change, well, guess what? We're not going to change it a third time. You're going to have to take what's there. One of the congregations had a history of not liking Calvary. That goes back, you know, that's an 80-some-year-old, that's like Hatfields and McCoys. God's people can sometimes be cantankerous.
Sadly. But the fact is, they carried that hurt on from generation. They chose not to. And we kind of figured they wouldn't. Because they just didn't want anything with Calvary. Calvary came and took away from them the concept that they would have been the seminary church. Okay? Not that we're the seminary church. But anyway, so we had two congregations voted not to. Two voted to. Calvary actually had to have a second voters meeting. Because originally they voted for a consolidation of four churches. So for good order, we had to have another voters meeting to consolidate with just South. And of course it passed. So, they were held on the same day. We had the meetings. On the sixth period, a new congregation was formed. And that formation of the new congregation officially took place on the 4th of June, 2017. Okay, we got a big tent. We went to the South Campus. Now, what we do, we have two campuses. To the public, it is South Campus, North Campus. To our members, it's Trinity Campus, Calvary Campus, to maintain the history. So like when we put out advertising or something, we tell them South Campus, North Campus, and things. So we put up a tent. We were both, all three of the pastors were installed as members of the new church. And things. We had installed Stephen ministers at that service. We had a picnic. We had a catered meal. And the Lord blessed us with one of the most gorgeous early June days we could have picked. Okay? And so we had that. Before that celebration, however, well, there were a few things to take care of. We had to take care of a name. Contentious. There it was. Man, you know, they said you could teach false doctrine more easily than you could change the hymnal. Remember that back 25 years ago when the new hymnal came out? Well, boy, I did not realize at that time there would be so much animosity about a name change. People are hung up on these things. So we gave them a sheet. We wanted everybody involved. We handed out a sheet like this and offered them, you may suggest a name and then tell us why you think that's an appropriate name. We offered some suggestions, however. We want to, let's see, as you deliberate on this task, we offer a few suggestions in making your selection. We encourage you to avoid saint names, such as St. Paul, St. Matthews, foreign language names, such as Lumen Christi, which is the Catholic Church on the road, Zum Kripplein Christi, or Sola Fide, to mention a few. Nothing wrong with these names, mind you. But to avoid theological terms, such as Trinity, Calvary, Redemption, Soloa, Zion, or extremely trendy names, that may fall out of favor in time. We also realize when we're reaching out to community, a name does mean a lot. So we ended up with... here it is. 110 name suggestions. Now that's after we whittled it down. We had about 300 suggestions. But some of them were duplicates. So we whittled down to 110. Then we took a look and we had the CBC gathered together, our elders take a look. They whittled it down to 5. We thought Milwaukee River is right across the road from us and along on both sides of both campuses. How about River of Life Lutheran Church? That sounds cool, right? Doggone it, up in Saukville, just a few miles north. They started a little church over there. What do they call it? River of Life. Oh, man. Victory? Oh, there was a church in Brown Deer that just said, well, anyway, it came down to Christ alone. Okay? And that's what we are. We are now Christ alone. And it's neat because it came with its own theme song. it worked out really well that way. Okay, so a name. There was a lot of that with that. The systems. Okay, how are we going to work all the systems? We actually came up, we adopted for the time being Calvary because we had just rewritten the Constitution. We adopted the Calvary Constitution
just the Constitution part. We've suspended the bylaws until we get a whole new system. And our whole new system went away from the church council type thing and the bottleneck that happens with pastors if it's all got to funnel through the pastor. We now have 7 committees or boards. We have a school board. You have the board of elders. You have a worship, an outreach committee. You have member ministry committee. We have all a property committee. We have finance committee. We have all these. Some of them are committees, which means we can have women serve on them. Some of them are boards, in which they are all elected, like the board of elders. Okay, that's a board. Board of education. But all the other committees, outreach and all these other things, are open to women as well. So now, all we do is meet, and each of those committees had to come up with their own SWOT analysis, their own plan. We moved to a fiscal year, moving to July 1st, and they had to come up with their plan. As long as they're working their plan of what they presented to the congregation as a plan of ministry, they're free to go. They don't have to, you know, we don't have to okay anything. Nothing gets bottlenecked. We're working on that. It's really fascinating how this is working. Our elders, we divided the congregation into 12 districts. Each of the 12 districts has a district communicator, usually a couple that are there, and each of those are underneath one of the elders to maintain a close connection with all our members of all the times. And so systems are being put in place. Schedules? Oh, they talked about how do I give up my service time? We had one lady who said, bless you. We had one lady, she said that too, and bless you also. Okay. We had one lady who said, this is my pew, I will sit here even if there's no service going on. She's all smiles and giggles. She was one of the very first ones to see the benefit of what we were doing. She comes, we have Thursday night services and Saturday night services and Monday night services, Monday only during the summer. But those two we hold at the smaller church because it's a wonderful way to make a small group, which is a Thursday and Saturday group, to be intimate. And the singing is great, the acoustics are great, so we do those. The larger services we do at our North Campus, which would be the bigger church. So we divided that up, okay? And it's working well. We still do Lent, we still do noon service at the smaller church, and we do the larger services in the evening at the bigger church. We work that. Sunrise service, we'll do Easter sunrise, we'll do it at the smaller church. Late night, we have a 10:30 Christmas Eve, we do that at the smaller church. Then we work it out by basis of how large the group is going to be. And everybody's happy. And the lady who sits in her pew, still sits in that same pew, she comes regularly on Saturday night. Because that's still her church. And we're not gonna tear any of that away. Okay? So, and then there's all the little things. Little things, like your seal you have to change. By the way, changing the name of a church is not as difficult as you think. We had more people concerned, well, what are we going to do with the basketball uniforms? Well, when they wear out, we'll change them. And then we'll put the new name on. You know, we changed all the logos and stuff on the gymnasium, and we still have Calvary in the back of the school because we had problems with the sign company. But I won't go into that one either. But those are just little things. Oh, you change your stationery. Call the state up. We got a new name. Fine. We have a new name on our tax-exempt number. We have a new name for our ES number for the federal. No problem. Change them. Show the documentation that you voted to do this, and you're all good to go. No big deal. The transition was smooth. The hardest part is being able, as pastor, who's been there for a long time, to always remember to say Christ alone. You know? So, with that, you know, in the beginning, that was chapter 1, and God showed us all that was created. Now comes chapter 2, how all things go into place. And so we do our SWOT analysis. If you're not familiar with SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Okay? This is a big one. Wow, the opportunities we've now had on Double Camp. We didn't even see all the blessings we had. When Pastor Weinrich had to retire, we did not replace him. But we've got 4 part-time folks now, paid staff. We have a parish administrator. He takes care of all the billing. He takes care of all the vendors. He takes care of all the business aspect of the church. We have a worship coordinator. She takes care of coordinating the choirs and the organists and all the music and all that for our worship service. We have a properties manager. He watches over, kind of oversees the trustees and property manager, property committee, but he oversees it. He takes care of all the work that needs to be done there. And then we have a member ministry coordinator. Oh, is that wonderful? Martha, I need about five people to help paint. She'll pull it up on the computer, call them herself and say, you've signed up to paint. Are you available to paint this weekend? And so we got those four positions for the price of one pastor. Because we had this salary and now it's part-time. Guys, if you can incorporate a parish administrator at least, do take the paperwork off your desk. My desk is still full. That's just the slot that I am. But, oh, for the longest time it was clear because I didn't have to deal with the phone bills, the sewer bills, any of that. I didn't have to sign off on any of that. I didn't have to follow up with the credit cards or anything like that. He does all that. He finds out if he found a phone line you were paying for and we was not existent anymore. So with that, do the slot analysis. We're doing that now. We're still looking. We have a master planning committee, a vision committee that looks forward to see what do we want to do. We're still in conversation with St. John's. We are looking at combining our preschools. And if that works, there may still be opportunity for us to join with them. Now, I had promised that I'd offer questions. How does anybody, what's the schedule for today? Is it 2:30? I got till 2:30? Excellent. Okay. Anybody have questions or comments, insights, wonderments, and ponderings? Yes?
Those two congregations that happened not to join, have they had remorse about that?
Well, the one congregation has actually now taken on Professor Tiefel from the seminary. He's planning to retire in 2 years, so he's kind of their retiring bachelor. They've chosen just, I'm not breaking the eighth commandment, they've chosen just to be themselves. Okay? And they're down to, the attendance is up there, up to 20 now on Sunday. So they've got seminary students preaching a couple times a month, and Pastor Tiefel, Professor Tiefel comes in. That's their choice. That's their choice. And things like that. But and St. John's, Pastor Kaler is all in favor. He wanted the blueprint. He's in favor. We encountered right up front somebody who just didn't like the idea, and they said, well, we like a small church. Anybody have a problem with that? Small church is nice. Community church is nice. Family church is nice. But did Jesus say, stay small? Could you imagine the disciples on Pentecost? I'm sorry, a couple thousand, that's too many. No, we want to just stay with, okay, give us one or two so maybe we can go up to 15. So we can still get in one house. Small isn't the way you want to stay. And we're not, and somebody, well, I don't want a mega church. We're no mega church. We're a small church. You want small church? Come to Thursday night. We only have average right now around 45. We had a gust on Saturday. We had 100 on Saturday. But, okay. But we think about it. It's the gospel message outreach. And what a neat thing it is. So they're still there. And we've actually had some folks who, when they saw how it's working, I know at St. John's, they said, oh, I would change my vote in a heartbeat. And so it still may be there. That's still open for them. Other thoughts? Yes?
Here. So the South Campus has no Sunday worship?
No Sunday worship. Probably one of the harder pills for them, not to have a Sunday worship, but we have Bible class in between our two worship services.
And to utilize the manpower, we said right now, and Sunday school is on the North Campus. They do not have the rooms for Sunday school on the South Campus. So we figured if we're going to have Sunday school on a Sunday morning, and also about we get about 100 for Bible class in the morning, on Sunday morning, plus the Sunday school. And that fits in our campus. So that was difficult, but they've, you know, we were there Thursday, Saturday, and during the summer we're there on Monday. And I know there's some. I know that was a St. John's had a problem. They didn't like the idea of an empty parking lot on Sunday morning. And so if they should join with us, we think we have that accommodated because we can squeeze them in between our two morning services.
Yeah, and we were talking with another church, Elm Hudson, and that was the big thing was we wouldn't have Sunday morning services. So that's the big controversy at our church.
You wouldn't have Sunday morning services
at that building.
There.
Right, right.
Exactly. I mean, you think about it, the synagogues are all empty on Sunday. Nobody thinks ill of that, right? Okay. Other thoughts? Yes.
For membership, do members like choose a location, Or is it just one big membership?
It's one congregation. We have one membership. And one of the things, it's delayed now, it won't come out till the first, but we, one of the big things we went to right away is got a pictorial directory with everybody in. It's one set of envelopes for everybody. It's all one congregation. It just happened to be that we can worship at two different places.
It's like for your elders and for shepherding, how do you divide them up then? You do it by just...
As far as the districts right now, we have our districts divided geographically so that we get people. We have 12 districts. And each of them, you know, what we did is we have, hey, just invite the people over. And so we did it. They invited people, didn't know the people. Who are your neighbors? We had a little campaign for our school at one time where we put a Calvary sign out. I mean, it's amazing. People say, I saw a Calvary sign out, and there you are. I never knew they were a member. And so we're working at neighborhoods. Eventually, that may morph into more demographically based districts where we get them by age. But right now, we're doing it that way. And so for each three, we have an elder that watches over two districts, watches over those communicators. And like when I go out and visits with the elders, we'll go to his district to introduce him. And we're going to those. We've also taken the congregation. If you are looking for, by the way, if you're looking for a computerized program for church membership, it's called Servant Keeper. We've just incorporated, we're just working on it now. Excellent program. It's not cheap, but it's an excellent program for monitoring. And what we've done is we've also, this sounds a little crass, we've rated our membership. We give them a care factor. A care factor one means you'll always see them in church. You'll probably always see them in Bible class. You'll always see them. Care factor two is you'll see them most of the time, okay, but not like every. Care factor three means we really should watch because they may only be once a month, type of thing. Care factor four means we go to knock on the door. And then we also have care factor C, which is college, so that we can follow up on them. We also have one other care factor, bless you, which is the shut-ins and those that cannot make it. And we have a far category where there are people that have moved away. They haven't reestablished themselves at a church, but we will not take them off our list until we get them established someplace else. Because we believe if they're off our list, they're on nobody's list. And we want to make sure we follow up. I had a hand here and there. Yes?
Just quick, our care factor is something that's inside of that Servant Keeper.
We add that. You can add all those columns for yourself. But you can add pictorials on it. You can add pictures in there. That's where all our... And we came up with our own list of, I don't know how many, for... You've all done time and talent sheets. We've included that. So now everybody's able to get actually onto the computer at home, log in their time and talents. So when Martha, our administrator for member ministry, needs people, she just types in, I need painters. And it'll pump out a list with phone numbers of everybody to contact for that. It's a great program. We're still, they got great tech support for it. I'm just saying if you need a program, that's one that we're really pleased with. And it's, we brought our whole congregation together. And one of the blessings, this was, Pastor Weinrich was very disappointed when he could not be further involved with this whole program. We had a retirement party for him at South Campus in their fellowship hall. And I remember his statement very clearly. He says, you know, I wondered what role I would take as we join together, how I might be able to help bring them all together. And he just took his hands and he went like this. Over half the people that were gathered together were from Calvary. And the other half was from Trinity. He says, this is what it is. We have been brought together as one community, one congregation. And, you know, and everybody applauded because that was his role. Even in his retirement, he brought everybody together realizing we got one purpose in mind, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a hand here.
Tracking attendance, do you do that just by communicant whenever they have communion, or do you have any more?
We track attendance. We have friendship registers.
Sure.
And we have the secretary Monday morning will take them, and you can put them on Servant Keeper. And then if you want... what we've been doing for our elders Anybody, we get a list of anybody who hasn't attended in the last 4 weeks. Now, Pastor Ebert and I go over it because sometimes they don't sign the book. And we'll say, well, no, they were there. They were there. Or I've seen them there. So we go over it. But then the elders have a reason to contact. As far as we know, we haven't seen you in church. So the servant keeper will keep track of that for you as well.
You also do that for Bible class?
No. We don't keep attendance in Bible class. We have seven... seven Bible classes, not counting teens. And with that, by the way, the blessing, now with the South Campus, they have an old church built in way back when. It's got one of those fieldstone walls in the bottom, and they schmutzed over it with plaster, and that's all coming by. So we cleared it out. We call it the Underground. That's where the teens meet every Wednesday evening, at the Underground. We still got a lot of work to do, but we're going to have, you talk about getting teens involved, we're going to have them do the demo for us. They got to take the ceiling stuff off. They got to do this. They're going to do the painting for us. It looks like it's underground because of the way that plaster and all those rocks are falling out. But it's their ministry. We've got a senior assistant who leads that every Wednesday and stuff. But we have seven Bible classes, so we don't take. Though we do have, for the Sunday morning one, we have a lady who's in charge. She makes sure everybody's got a name tag. So she even developed a file that you can come in and pull your name tag and work so you know who you're sitting by in Bible class. Other thoughts on the consolidation? Anything that you could see? Anything you could see you could import yourself? Because then I'll go, since I've got a few minutes yet, I'll tell you a couple things we might do differently. Yes?
It seems like, and you mentioned it as one of the struggles, and that's one that I would anticipate as well, is people get very tied to. It was mentioned in another presentation, the location, the building, but they also get very tied to the identity. You know, you mentioned how hard it was to come up with a new name.
Yeah.
Any advice now looking back? And
I think in reality, you're not as popular as you think you are. Calvary's been there since 1931 at that same location. They had a smaller church that tore down to build a big one. People ask me where I serve. I said, oh, I serve at Christ Alone. Where's that? I said, you know where the library is? Oh, yeah. We're right across the street. Oh, I drive by it all the time. I never knew that was there. We're right at the corner. When you go down the line, our church is right in the middle of the road. You know? If you've ever known our location, how can you miss that? And there are a lot of folks that don't know there's a school attached behind it. And stuff. So I had to share that with our folks. We're not as popular as you think. Because if Calvary would have closed, again, what impact would there be? What impact would there be? If you were familiar back when there was the talk of moving MLC, you know, back in 95 and the consolidation. That's why we preferred consolidation versus amalgamation, because amalgamation took a bad turn in 95 when that was all happening. But there... boy, I tell you what, New Ulm, they were at the doorstep of MLC. They did not want that college to leave because that would have an impact on the community. I think our churches should have that same impact. And the joy of getting the message out to them that we're working together, that we're on the same team. Oh, wow. I mean, I'm excited because now with St. John's, it'll probably go for sure that we will have a joint preschool together. We're working on how we can cooperate. You know, are we going to have to build over there? Maybe we are. This would be good. They've got an excellent location. They've got people who work in Milwaukee who drop their kids off for their preschool program because it's on the way to work. We can work on it. Okay? Yes?
I gather the sense that your presentation is different because the merger was not so much a very healthy congregation and a dying congregation that was more in the middle. What are the dynamics of trying to convince people of the benefits of the merger when there's not that pressing need necessarily?
I think we go back to, can we do it better? How can we do this better? Again, are we going to be spread a mile wide but only a quarter inch thick? How about really focusing on ministry? People always say, well, we can't forget our teens. Well, then focus on them. I don't have time to focus on them as well as I would have if that were my key thing. if that was if I could dedicate 60% of my time to youth ministry. Oh man, what a joy that would be, but I've got to divide it all up. Now, of the four congregations, admittedly, St. Trinity South and Calvary, this isn't a measure of success, but we were regularly in the black. At the end of the year, all the bills were paid, okay, and we didn't have to take a loan or hit the line of credit or anything. The other two, not so much. Okay? Not that they don't have money. They're working off of some funds that are built up. But, and one of the things I can share with you, with Trinity South, they had a building fund that people had donated to for the use of Trinity. So we said, fine. Any improvements that we need to make will come out of that fund. So that it's not going to go, nothing will go to the north. Anything we need to do, if we want to improve, if we want to put carpeting in some place, it'll come out of that fund because you donated it for that place. And that. So we kind of met that challenge there as well. But the money they gave for their campus, it'll be used there. And we'll use it. Underground needs a little work. Okay? Other thoughts? How many of you have an opportunity for something like this to happen? Okay. Now, I put my name and address down there. I'd be more than glad to come and visit. I really would. I've got a visit scheduled in November over towards Beaver Dam. Is there anybody here from the Beaver Dam group? I got a visit scheduled in November there. Don't have a visit scheduled with you, but I know.
Probably early next year, hopefully in the summertime next year.
I'm more than glad to come down. I'll bring one of the other guys along with me if you like. But I'm excited about this. If you want any of the materials, you can take a look at the materials we had up here if you want to take a look at them. See, the difference between this one and those of you who went to Monkeys, you notice he's now getting to the stage of doing it. We've done it. We've celebrated a one-year anniversary, and the blessings that we've had and the excitement is still there. If I were to do things differently, I would, since it was kind of from top down a little bit, I wouldn't give them as many choices. We tried to get everyone's opinion. If I were to ask everyone's opinion here, I'd have as many opinions as I have people in the room. If you have a plan, and as I shared with people when the votes were coming out, I said, a good idea is still a good idea, even if people don't vote for it. Hey, we just went through elections, right? I don't know if there were any good ideas there, but the fact is, if it's a good idea, if it's to the glory of God, if it's to the benefit of souls, if it's to bring other souls in, it's still a good idea. And so I might have been a little less, I might have been a little bit more dictatorial with it, and just let them dislike me. Okay? One of the things, I think you also, I think most of the pastors that I've talked with so far have been at your place for a while. You have hopefully earned the trust of your people that you're not going to lead them strange. I mean, that's important. That they've got to realize you're not trying to pull something, you're not trying to do something to be like anybody else. You know, when we were first doing this, we realized that we were probably on the cutting edge of this whole merger thing. Because we didn't have anybody else to follow. And it worked. God was good to us. Idiots that we were trying to do it. He says, here, I'll help you with this. Even to the point of having to call Pastor Weinrich out. You know, we'd say, well, that wasn't in our plans. The Lord had better plans. And it was all good. And Pastor Weinrich, by the way, is doing fine. He's retired up north of Green Bay there. You know. Anyone else? Yes?
You know, your church is, both campuses are in the same city, not very far apart. Most of the ones I've heard of and the ones we're thinking of are much further apart. The next town over, 15-20 minutes drives and stuff. So some of the things would definitely make it harder.
There, my recommendation, no extra grammar, I'm a proctologist. The fact would be the articles of shared ministry. See where you can do things together. And grow from there. There are things. And really, in today's day and age, let's be fair, 15, 20 minutes? Car isn't even warm by the time you get there. You know, and so it's not so far. It's not so far that we can't go. Jeff?
Yeah, just to that point, before I was here in Jefferson County, so your dead cat, you hit three wells, churches, and they're all the same. I was up in the northern edge of the Nova Set in Bemidji, Minnesota, and people would have to come like 100 and 110 miles to get their church. So it kills me now. I've got two churches I've got there, but they are precisely 16.8 miles between them. And yet there's no way I would ever be able to get across from this one to come to the other.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a strange
thing. They always, when I served in Minnesota, it was too far for people to come from the cities to New Ulm, but everybody could drive from New Ulm to the cities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My son, who serves up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Now, if you don't know where Grand Rapids is, it's an hour and a half northwest of Duluth.
Yeah.
Okay. He has to go quite a ways. His members have to travel quite a ways to get there. But they come.
Yeah.
And it's all about ministry. Now, I hope to be around. Yes. Final question. I got 2 minutes.
All right. What did the big congregation have to say no to in the merger? Was it the name?
That was about it. They saw that it was about ministry. I was really pleased. Our folks went on board. They said, this just makes sense. This just makes sense. It made sense to do all four. Now, the one thing when we do all four, we had in mind what we could do. You can repurpose buildings as well. We also realize in our area there's a lot of Russians, there's a lot of Spanish, there's a lot of Hmong, there's a lot of different things. We could have done different language, so we still may. We still may work at that. We've added Jesus Cares to our program now in the South Campus because we didn't actually have the room for it in our school. We've added that opportunity. We've added all these other things, and it's just going to grow, and we're excited about that. And if you, like I said, the numbers and stuff are there. I certainly appreciate your attention. And remember, get your colonoscopy.
It's a simple test to find out if anything's wrong here. And if something's wrong, guess what? They fix it right away. Take that for your preacher proctologist. Have a good day. Thank you.